to you and peace be never to add from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our homily this morning, we should like to focus on an aspect of our Old Testament lesson, to which I add a verse from St. Jude, in as much as it is also St. Jude's Day. Now, from our text, then, I reread verses 12 and 13. Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent of the evil which he has pronounced against you." Friends in Christ, God will repent. God will repent. Let me try that again with a little bit of explanation. We say it so wisely and we hear it so positively. God will repent. Ought we not rather to be asking in a kind of joyous, almost incredulous amazement, God will repent? For I had thought that repentance means to feel bad about sin. How can God, who can commit no sin, feel bad about sin? Well, there's plenty of sin around for God to feel bad about. You and I have seen to that. However, there is a difference. There is a tremendous difference in the way that God feels bad about sin and the way that we feel about sin. God repents, he feels bad about sin. You repent, you feel bad about sin. Though God repents and we repent, my first point is there is a tremendous difference between the repentance of God and the repentance of man. And the point is that the repentance of God makes possible the repentance of man and not vice versa. God repents. He feels bad about sin. He feels bad in anger as he must because he is the Holy God. God also feels bad about our sin in love, not because of Christ, but not because he must, but because of Christ, because of that self-generated love in the heart of God. God feels bad about sin and anger. And therefore, it is so inappropriate that we should simply say, well, God will repent. It isn't as though we had just, so to speak, ruffled the feathers of God by some kind of trivial nonsense and some naughtiness, and now we come to God with a few strokes of flattering adulation and praise and smooth those feathers down again, and we give him a reassuring pat. Oh, there, God, don't take it all so seriously. Yes, I was up to no good, some mischief there, but I want you to know now that I am into better things. Our sin is of a more serious dimension. We have knocked God off the throne in our lives. We've scrambled aboard ourselves. We've insulted the omniscience of God because we have presumed to hide some of the dark spots in the fabric of our life from his omniscience. We have jabbed at God with our contrary years. And that bleeding hand extended to us from the cross, we've slapped it away. That's how serious our sin is. And God can repent. Repent in the sense that he is pity for us and is sorry for us. All of this, if you will note, is evident in the message of Jeremiah. From verse 4 and 6, says, "You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will listen to me, if you will not listen to me, I will make this city a curse for all the nations of the earth. The threat is there. And the enemies of Jeremiah had picked that up. And in the calling for his execution, they left out something that Jeremiah included. All that they could say was that there is doom, inevitable doom. What Jeremiah's message included was also that God is angry about sin, but God also repents if he is so in love because of Jesus Christ. Now, maybe something of what I'm struggling to say will emerge if we look at some of the nuances that are suggested, at least to me, by two sets of Hebrew verbs that are used in the context of repentance. Nahan, the word here, and few. Nahan. With connotation of repenting, feeling something. Feeling return. Repenting with connotation of doing something. Now, if the way God feels about our sin is simply that he has certain emotional reactions that does nothing that's inadequate. I believe that if God lays on each law of punishment and chastisement, he wins it. But if he feels bad, and if he kind of feels the pain himself of the blows and lays on me, but that's all there is to it, then I really hurt. Because if he has to flail away, laying on severe blow after severe blow, and nothing happens to change all this, he just feels a certain way. Finally, I end up a bloody beast in a mass, a bloody pulp, nothing more. In Jesus Christ, God has intervened and acted decisively. There is an affirm, the feeling, but there's also the truth, doing or something. Now, likewise for you and for me, it isn't enough that we just feel a certain way towards God. We thank him for gracefully doing certain emotions, but we've got to ask. Two, we have got to turn. We've got to turn to the God who is intervening so graciously for us in Jesus Christ. And when we turn to God, then inevitably, unless we fall, we also turn away from sin. We turn in the direction of those things now, and that path to which God points. God's repentance. My second point. God's repentance brings joy to our repentance. Now, Luther's first piece, if you recall, our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, in saying, repent you, intended that the whole life of believers should be penitent. The whole life of believers should be penitent. Now, that doesn't mean morning, noon, and night. We're supposed to go around with some sort of a dark cloud settled on our brow. There is in repentance an element of joy. Return. Return from our sin to God. And in Christ, we don't turn to a God who frowns on us, who pushes us aside, who rejects us, as we return to God as the waiting Father. And so there is joy in all of this. Now, that is not to say there isn't pain of repentance too. Because in the first instance, that is indeed the way the truth of God must enter our lives. There is that sharp, piercing point. That has got to be jabbed into the swollen tumor of my self-love and my self-centeredness. But after all that poison of self-love has faded out, and on that point that was jabbed in is a joy. When it is wrapped and swathed in the love of God, it is dipped in the blood of the Savior, and now that wound is wiped clean, and it is wiped with a healing unguent that our Savior declared on Calvary's cross, and now that wound is anesthetized and it heals. perhaps the point that I'm trying to make can be brought home by the illustration that we have here on the sheet that was included with your service folder this morning. And if you will, let's first at the Crimson God. It's the reproduction of a sculpture from the Greco-Roman period, which is now found in the Louvre in Paris. In the regrets of repentance, caught out in my stupid stumbling into sin and reversion to sin, I feel like this cringing dog. I'm reminded of that unsavory comparison that St. Peter makes, that I'm like the dog that is returned to its vomit. And here I am, dejected, downcast, recognizing and feeling my sin and shame and in pain. That isn't bad enough. Well, the devil gets on my back, and he tries to shove my face back into the vomit of my sin. What to do? You've had a great word of advice. How do you get the devil off your back? This is how you get the devil off your back. You tell the devil to go to heaven. And so you say to Satan, as he's trying to thrust you back again into those revolting sins and the memory of them, he says, bug off and take that whole set of accusations with you to heaven. What does he find in heaven? Well, he finds a gracious God who's given Jesus Christ. And a God who has said, in the name of this Christ, who is suffering death and victory, this sinner is forgiven. And so as long as Satan is still on my shoulder, he can hiss into my ear, God has no use for sinners, and especially not sinners like you. And then I told him, take it all to heaven. God speaks in my behalf. Now he meets up with the Savior himself, who is ever there at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Now, if you will, just turn the page. I think you can make out what we have here, although the reproduction is not as sharp as we should have liked, but what the author had written the original wasn't that helpful. Now, obviously an angel, but there's something unusual here. The German text from which I took this has this little comment, that says, use the lesson and to check a puncture to the division, use the fingers, lesson meets the meat, and that's why I found a belt that is the power stamp. The blinded smile and the quick advancing movement of this angel give an indication that he comes from a portal depicting a judgment scene. And I find that very interesting and very instructive. After I have followed Luther's advice and got the devil off my back and sent him to heaven with his accusations, was not going to make out very well. But here, there's another aspect of repentance that comes through, joy. Now, of all things, a smiling, dancing angel in a card scene depicting the judgment, where he uses usually D-A-C-Y-D-A-Z-L-I. That dreadful day of wrath. All my life I have been praying with the psalmist, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. That is, God, please never let it come to this, that I've got to appear before your judgment bar, because I shall never survive. But appear there I must. And when I'm there, the angel is dancing and snoring. And why? Because in Christ, there is a verdict, enter into joy, inherit eternal life. My concluding point will have to be rather brief. I refer to Jude 3. Beloved, being very eager to write to you of our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith which was once for all delivered to the faith. My message this morning then has been very simple. God's repentance makes possible our repentance, our repentance in joy. And now, in the joy of that kind of repentance, we can join the company of the saints with whom we have sung. And all of that joy can be there as we enter into this mission of witnessing to our Lord, and confessing Him as Lord and Savior out there in the world. And so, I am lifted, you are lifted, from that pasture of the poor, cringing soul, caught eating its own vomit. You are lifted up to a new status. You're pronounced forgiven in Jesus Christ, and now in the very judgment of God, the angels can smile and dance their jig of joy. Let's keep them smiling and kicking up their heels. Amen.